Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Mom Wins, where we rise to the occasion for our kiddos, and we wrap things up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 257. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Shauna.
How are you doing? Tell us what's going on with your family this week.
Well, okay, so I feel like I have not been talking about Sebastian all that much lately. I feel like it's been a lot of Augie check-ins recently.
Okay, give us some of the two-year-old goods.
Oh my gosh, two-year-olds are wild. I forgot how wild they are.
Yeah, me too.
They're so cute. The thing about two-year-olds that is just, like, so cute is that they have these, like, big personalities and, like, big opinions, but they're still in these kind of little baby bodies. And so when they give you their big opinions, it's just too cute, you know? Like, one of his new phrases is, go away, mommy. Go away, mommy.
Oh,
and
no.
He's like, go away, daddy. Go away, mommy. And I know he's saying it because he's mad. And he also says it like at the wrong times. Like he says it when he's mad at me because I won't like give him boob, right? Like he wants to nurse, but I'm telling him no. And So he'd be like, well, he was like, boob time. And he's like trying to lift my shirt up. And I'm like, no, it's my body. I'm deciding we're not doing it right now. And he goes, go away, mommy. But if I try to leave, he'd be like, mama. You know, it's just like, it's his stand in for I'm mad at you. Go away,
right.
Mommy.
He doesn't understand the full implications of
no,
that phrase.
He just knows it means he's mad.
Yeah.
So I was actually able to catch him in one of these little anger moments recently, and I got it on voice memo. Would you like to hear?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
We'll do boo-boo time after that, like we always do. Go away, or do you want boo-boo time? I can't understand.
Okay.
Well, we're not doing boo-boo time until after bath, like usual.
Okay, now can we play the game upstairs?
Yeah, let's go play the game upstairs.
Go away. Go away.
Oh my gosh. Go away. Oh, boo-boo time. Go away, boo-boo time. Poor kid doesn't know what he wants. Well, I think he knows what he wants. He just doesn't know what he's saying. Aww.
He does not. Go away.
So funny.
And I'm trying to like validate his feelings by not laughing at him when he's mad, but it's too cute. But one of the other opinions he's starting to have now is opinions about wearing diapers.
Oh, he loves it, wants to continue forever?
No. So this is sort of the bulk of my check-in for this week, is that he is definitely starting to show some signs of potty readiness, I think. Mm-hmm. Namely that he used to be able to like be in a wet diaper for eternity and like truly not give a shit, for lack of a better phrase. Also poopy diapers. Like I would almost to 100% accuracy know that he had a poopy diaper based on how long he was like playing independently, because it was almost like he would go like have a poop and then he knew that I would like interrupt his play if I changed it. So it would be like, wow, Sebastian's been playing for like 20 minutes all by himself. Oh, must have a poopy diaper.
Oh, my goodness.
But something has changed in the last week or so where he is no longer interested in staying in these soiled undergarments. He is now like telling us the minute he pees in his diaper and definitely holding it longer. So I'll be like, oh, you probably need a new diaper. And I'll check and be like, dry, dry. It'll be like dry, 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 dry. And then it'll be like he'll walk up and be like, potty, potty, because he doesn't quite have the language to be as clear about what it is. But he'll like be tugging at his diaper and say, potty, potty. And I'll go and feel. And he has like the wettest diaper in existence, right? He's like held it for hours and all of a sudden like peed a grown child pee into the diaper and wants it off. He's also like pulling his pants down and taking his own diaper off, which is fine when it's wet. It's not as fine when it's poopy. His teachers at school have reported that this has happened a couple times.
Oh, no. He's doing it at school, too.
He's doing it at school. The teacher, Corey, picked him up the other day. And when he came home, he's like, Well, Teacher Brenda said that he took off his diaper and it was poopy and he's just walking around bare butt. And I was like, oh, that's not good. So we're kind of at the point where it's like, okay, there are all these signs. This is supposed to be like strike while the iron's hot situation, right?
Yeah. So what are you going to do?
Nothing. I don't want to do anything because we're going on all these trips.
Bad timing.
Terrible timing. Next weekend, we're driving 3.5 hours to Pismo Beach for Sherry, my mother-in-law's birthday. And it should be fun. And then we're flying to Portland in June. And then we are going to go up to Big Bear this summer with my mom. And I'm just like, it would be so convenient if he still used diapers during all these long travel periods, you know? Like, I don't know. But I don't know if we can get away with it. But because of that, I'm not like pushing the potty stuff too hard. Also, because I think I went too far pushing Augie the first time we potty trained him. We talked about it on the show. We've talked about how I am not a fan of the Oh Crap book anymore, at least for us. And with Sebastian, I'm like going in the exact opposite direction, like no pressure, no plan. But he's kind of like testing me on that because I'm like, I thought we were going to be no pressure, no plan. And now you're making me seem like I need a plan.
So he's like, I've been reading Oh Crap and I've got these really great ideas, Mom.
He's like, I heard I'm supposed to do this in 3 days. but, you know, we still have the little potties around and there's one in his room and Augie still uses his. Augie has like, I mean, he's totally fine with peeing like in a regular grown up toilet. He does it all the time when we're out and about. But at home, he like has like a mental block. If he's upstairs, he has to use his little potty. And I'm like,
oh, interesting.
Why? But he just has to. It's like his thing. So we have one in his room. We have one in Sebastian's room. So I guess we're just going to, you know, see if he's interested in using it. I will say he's interested in taking off his diaper and he's definitely interested in not putting another one on. But what he's not interested in is actually sitting on the potty.
So, he doesn't want to?
I don't know if he's too busy or what. Like, I'll be like, come sit on the potty. And I can kind of bribe him if I like show him TV on my phone, you know, like show him YouTube or sometimes read a book. But he just then wants to like get up and run around.
Sitting on the potty is boring.
What did we do before phones? I mean, I remember we had like we had magazine racks in the bathroom. That was like what you did. Yeah. So I don't blame him for not wanting to sit. But it seems like he's heading in that direction. So
all right.
That's what's going on over here.
Keep us updated on that.
I will. But other than Corey coming upon a bare-butted baby with poop all over his butt the other day who had taken off his own diaper. That was a fun one. What's going on in your world? Any bare butts over there?
Oh, no bare butts over here, but we sure have a shitty situation.
Uh-oh. What's going on?
Okay, but before I get started, I just have to mention that that bathroom renovation I mentioned last episode is in effect. They are actually on the other side of the house right now doing some tiling or something, and there's some banging and noises going on. I really hope you can't hear it.
Okay, I can't right now, but we will absolve you of any loud banging if we hear it. I want to hear about your shitty week.
Okay, thank you. We often report on our kids being sick, you know, or us being sick. And it kind of, I don't want to be a broken record with this topic. Cece was sick this week, and I'm going to talk about it because a very unique thing happened this week that has never happened to me as a parent when she was sick. And it was extremely overwhelming for me.
Okay.
The other morning, she woke up and she was like, Mama, I come in. And she seemed all right, but I like gave her a hug and I was like, ooh, you feel hot. And I took her temperature and it was about 101. So I was like, oh, okay, let's keep you home from school today. Can I give you some medicine to try to bring your fever down? She's like, no, no. And I was like, all right, well, we'll see what happens. Well, by about 11 a.m., it was about 105. It got so high, and I was trying desperately to give her some ibuprofen or Tylenol to bring this fever down. And she was absolutely refusing. Like, I cannot tell you the level of defiance that I was experiencing with this. I mean, We've gone through some medicine resistance with her before, to the point where I have about 5 different bottles of different flavors of the medications. We've mm-hmm. got like the tabs. I've got so many different types and I was trying every single thing. I know her favorite is like berry ibuprofen. I'm like, can you take this one? And she was just like, no, like every, like the fever was just dysregulating her so bad that like she was saying no to everything. She would not eat food. I couldn't sneak it in food. She was like not willing to drink anything other than water, so I couldn't sneak it into anything. So I was very stressed out that I had a kid with 105 fever who was completely unwilling to take medication.
Yeah, I would be too. So wait, was it like, was her resistance like scared? Like, was she scared of it? Or was she just like digging her heels in and be like, no fucking way am I touching that stuff?
That's a great question. I would describe it as just digging in her heels, straight up resistance, complete defiance. There was nothing like, I'm scared of the medicine, or no, no, I don't like that taste, or no, 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 no. It was just, fuck you, I'm not taking that fucking medicine. Like, if she had those words to say, she would. Like, that was the attitude, right? Mm-hmm. It was like, no, it's not going to happen, you know? And I'm like trying to, you know, be sly and like take a plunger and stick it in the corner of her mouth and maybe I could do it real quick. And it's like, no, no, she's like spitting it everywhere and doesn't want the tablets, you know? Like, everything that's ever worked before is just not working. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to take her to urgent care and see what's happening. She's very lethargic. She's got this super high fever. So we go to the urgent care, and when we get there, they take her heart rate, and it's about 160, which is apparently very high for a resting heart rate. It's probably high because of the fever, you know, and her nervousness about being at the doctor's, but the doctor's like concerned. And his first thing he wants to do is give her some Tylenol to bring the fever down. It's like, okay.
Good luck with that, sir.
Sure. You know, they bring in like a syringe full of Tylenol and I'm like, okay, I'll do my best. And, you know, I'm trying to give it to her and she like smacks it out of my hand. It goes flying across the room. And I'm like, you know, my very patient way with her. And I try again and she like smacks it out of my hand and it hits and she hits me in the face on accident. And then I like kind of get in there a little bit and put some in her mouth and she spits it everywhere. And I was just like, I'm really sorry. It's not going to happen. Like, then the doctor and nurse were nice, but I could tell they were kind of like wondering why I wasn't forcing this into her. I don't know. There was this weird pressure I was feeling as a parent, right? Like, my kid has a really high fever. I know that medicine is the thing that's going to help. I know, like, I'm the one that's supposed to be making the decisions, you know, for the things that help her, even if she doesn't like it. But what the fuck am I supposed to do when I literally can't get it in her? She's hitting and throwing it across the room and gagging and spitting it. Like,
yeah, I mean, the spitting is especially like you can't get around the spitting. It's not like you can like hold her mouth closed, I guess. I don't know. I mean, not that I know of.
Yeah.
When they're willful, they find a way.
Exactly. You know, like I can do this with my dog, Sasha, when it's like, like, I don't know, 1 milliliter of whatever medicine I need to give her, you know, you kind of point it in the back of their throat and go, psh, and it like slides down their throat. But this is like, I don't know what she takes now, 7 milliliters of Tylenol. So the doctor didn't want to let us leave because, you know, she had this high fever and high heart rate. And he's like, I'm trying to decide what to do with you. I'm not sure if I should send you to the ER or, you know, give you some antibiotics and send you on your way.
So we had talked about the whole sticker chart thing with Augie and how it worked to get him to take his antibiotics, right? But I will say his resistance was totally based in fear. Like, he was just afraid. He didn't want to take it because he was afraid. I think one time we gave him ibuprofen or something and then he threw up. And so he like associates it with the syringe now, you know, all that stuff, right? And also he responds to toy bribery very well. It sounds like that would not work in this situation.
That is correct. We have to remember with Cece that not only is she like a defiant 4-year-old, I've also been dealing with some like behavioral issues with her that I've been concerned about for a long time, right? Like, she has epic meltdowns. She's always been extremely strong-willed, very defiant. When she melts down, she's so dysregulated that, like, I can't even comfort her. I can't even, like, touch her and try to help her, right? Because she just doesn't know what to do with that. So there's no way, like, I'm going to reason with her with something like a sticker chart, right? But trust me, I tried.
Oh, I tried.
At that doctor's office, I was bribing her with everything. Honey, if you take this medicine, we'll get you some French fries, you know, at Wendy's on the way home. She loves Wendy's French fries. I'll get you a Frosty too. No, no. Okay. Honey, if you take this medicine, I'll buy you a toy at Target, anything you want. No, no, nothing. Yeah. Nothing was working. So we were there for 3 hours.
Oh my God.
So they ran a bunch of tests and they ruled out flu, COVID, strep, urinary tract infection. And he looked in her ear and was like, there's a lot of wax there, but maybe it's like kind of pink. So I'll give you amoxicillin in case it's an ear infection. So we went home with amoxicillin.
Okay. So it's good that they ruled out anything big and bad, but still, oof, sending you home with amoxicillin and a very cranky four-year-old.
Yes. Oh, wonderful. So she won't take yummy ibuprofen. She's surely going to take amoxicillin, which tastes like straight trash. I that stuff is so gross. Right. So we go home, we get that, and she still will not take any medicine. We try. We want to give her the amoxicillin because the doctor thought maybe she has an ear infection, right? So we try the method of Steve holding her and me going up, putting the syringe in her mouth. And I was going to try the old, you know, let's just shoot it down the back of her throat trick, you know, because everything is telling me that a good mom is supposed to be able to give medicine to her sick kid, right? I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I squirt like half of it in her mouth and she starts gagging and spitting and screaming and crying. And I was like, fuck it. Like, what can I do? I can't give her this medicine. I just can't. So we gave up. I sent Steve to the store to buy new flavors of medicine, juices, anything he could think of, you know, to try to get her to take at least ibuprofen to keep her fever down. And he came home with something called Good to Grow, which are these little bottles of juice with like character heads on them. I'd never seen them before. Do you know these?
I've seen them on mom's groups. Yeah, I've seen them on like the What's in My Lunchbox group. Yeah.
They're so cute. And they were Paw Patrol. He bought a bunch of them. And there was like Sky and Chase and everything. And the Paw Patrol head is like part of the little straw, right? And so we were like, do you want some juice? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, oh, thank God she's drinking something. So I let her drink it. I couldn't put the ibuprofen in the whole thing, right? Because it would be too diluted. But when she got down to about the last eighth, I like snuck ibuprofen in there. I was like, here's the rest of your juice. And she drank it. And I never felt more victorious in my life. I was like, yes. Oh, my God. Yes. She drank her ibuprofen. I was so excited. And then it all started over again the next day.
Man. So is that how you continue to get her medicine? Just sneaking it into the Paw Patrol juice?
No, because that trick only worked once.
I was going to say, see, the thing is, like, I've tried to sneak things in to foods for Augie, and the only thing that happens is that makes that an unsafe food for him after that.
Yeah. Yeah. She didn't know the medicine was in her juice. She's just finicky, you know, especially when she's, like, so dysregulated like this. So I couldn't count on her actually drinking juice anymore. Like, I tried, and she would take two sips and be like, eh, I'm done. And
and then you don't know how much is left, right? You don't know how much you've given her. Yeah.
Yes. I was a wreck trying to figure this out and handle her dysregulation and her fevers. My mom's group, everyone was giving me great suggestions. Not a single one worked. I messaged you and you're like, try suppositories. And I was like, okay. That's gonna work. But I was so desperate. I was like, Steve, go to the store and buy suppositories.
Yeah, I could tell even over text that you were not excited about this prospect. But I was like, what if you just like make it funny? Like, you know, they think butts are funny, right? And be like, oh my gosh, so guess what? This is a medicine, but it goes in your butt. Isn't that funny? But I never got a report back about whether that worked.
So Steve went to the store and bought, I don't know, two different types of suppositories, brought him home. I was like, Cece, we've got this medicine and you don't even have to taste it. It's amazing and funny. It goes up your butt. She looked at me, had the angriest look on her face, and she goes, that's disgusting.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I didn't want to hold her down and put it in her. You know what I mean? Like, she's 4 and a half now. I could see, mm-hmm. like, maybe a 18-month-old, you kind of, like, do that. But I don't know. I felt like that's maybe a memory she could form, and I didn't want to do that. So I gave up.
So she just had fever dreams for a week?
Yes, she did.
Oh, man.
So the next morning we went to her pediatrician, like we did a follow-up with her actual doctor who did a much more thorough exam and kind of almost rolled her eyes at the conclusion of the urgent care doctor and was like, there's no ear infection here. She's like, I see zero signs of bacterial infection and you can stop the amoxicillin. I was like, yay, that's the best news I've received all day.
Thank you so much.
And I told her about the medicine struggles, mm-hmm. and the pediatrician was like, look, fevers aren't bad. Like, they're not going to hurt, mm-hmm. your child. It's helping the infection and really it's fine. Like, just, you know, keep an eye on her, whatever, but it's okay. You want to look for it in conjunction with other symptoms, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what I went with. And she's like, I think, mm-hmm. it's probably roseola, which we've gone through before. So I was like, okay, that tracks. Or adenovirus, which is some virus that's going around the community right now, which I'd never heard of. And I was just like, oh, yay, another virus. So great.
There are so many viruses. They just keep coming.
They do. So whatever it was, we found out it was viral. We could stop the amoxicillin and we just had to carry on with her suffering through these fevers. She basically had 103 to 105 fevers for about 8 days.
Oh my God. She gets the highest fevers.
Yeah, she does. I occasionally was able to sneak one dose of ibuprofen into something, some kind of juice. And that was our week. And then she just got better. Wow. It was crazy.
Wow. Well, her body worked on it. And it's true. I was going to say, like, everything I've read and everything I know is that, like, you don't actually have to treat fevers unless there's some other reason, right? Like, say your kid has a history of febrile seizures, then you'd, mm-hmm. want to treat it, right, to like help with seizures. But like, yeah, fever itself, a lot of doctors tell you like not to treat it even, mm-hmm.
She's wow. like, you give medicine to make them comfortable, basically. I was like, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. But wow, that sounds so stressful, Shauna.
I was so stressed out. I took like 2 days off work to just take care of her and focus on her.
Well, it sounds like she's on the upswing now, though.
Yes, she's doing better. Thank goodness. I'm so glad. And yeah, I don't know. I don't have much else to say about it. It was just a stressful time.
Well, here's what I have to say about it. I think that if we move on to our special segment, it will lift us up a little bit. What do you think?
I think so. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Okay, we are back, and our special segment this week is Mom Wins, where we celebrate the wins in our life. We talk a lot about all the struggles we go through as parents, but this segment is all about the stuff we did right.
Woohoo!
Shauna, I want to get right to it. I want to hear about a mom win, because we just had such a harrowing check-in from you, and I want to hear about something so I can give you the biggest gold star ever.
All right. I don't know if this deserves the biggest gold star ever, but maybe a medium-sized one. Remember a few weeks back, our family went to Adventure City, aka Second Class Disneyland in Anaheim. It was still fun. One of the things we did was play arcade games and win virtual tickets. They, of course, don't print out tickets anymore. They just store them on your card. Well, because we earned so many tickets, the girls got to go to the prize counter and pick a bunch of prizes. Ooh. And this was very exciting for them. They got like a sequined notebook, a whoopee cushion, a water blaster. I mean, just all kinds of little cheapy things, right? But they really loved them. And then they had like 10 tickets left. So they had to pick those last two items, right? And mm-hmm. they each picked a bouncy ball, like a round bouncy ball about the size of a golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so excited to have these bouncy balls and all of their prizes. So we say thank you to the kid who gave us all of the prizes, turn around, and immediately they start bouncing these freaking bouncy balls all over the arcade. And I'm like, stop, 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 stop. Right? Because I can think three steps ahead. They cannot. They're like, boing, boing, boing. And, you know, bouncy balls. They're like, zing, zing, zing. They go everywhere. They're wild.
They ricochet big time.
They ricochet big time. They roll fast and they're small. Mm-hmm. And within 45 seconds of owning these bouncy balls, both of them have gotten lost behind arcade games.
Of course they have.
Of course.
That's what they're designed for. Every night they probably sweep and find all of them and put them back in the bin so people can win them again.
Exactly. They go behind this huge arcade game, like one of those claw game type things, right? There's like two claw games, like just huge machines. And do my kids go, oh, shoot, we lost our balls. Well, let's move on with our life.
No, no, no way.
And I see Cece start to get worked up. And these days I do everything I can to prevent her meltdowns, especially mm-hmm. in public. And so I am like panicking. I'm like, oh my God, we have got to find these bouncy balls. This sucks. Steve's like, why don't I go just ask that kid if you can buy a couple bouncy balls? I was like, no, that's not how it works. You buy those with tickets. You don't buy those with money. Let's go find these bouncy balls. We go over there. We're like looking between the machines and everything. And it just so happens that Elle's bouncy ball was underneath the claw machine, but just close enough to the front that she could reach her hand underneath and grab it. She's like, I got it. You know, so she's very excited. Mm-hmm. And Cece's like, but what about my ball?
No.
It's like, oh, well, honey, you know, you've got your water blaster. You have these other prizes. There's so much, you know, fun stuff. I want my bouncy ball. And at this point, I was like, all right, mama's going to find this bouncy ball. This has to happen. Steve's like ready to move on. He's like, oh, forget it, right? I'm like, no. It can be found. So I'm like looking around these machines. Is there any way I can like move them? No, the claw machine's so huge and heavy. I don't even see the ball. I don't know where it is. I'm like trying to look between all these machines. And I turn the corner and I see a big trash can. And like, a trash can can be moved. So I start shimmying a huge, disgusting arcade trash can. I shove it out of the way and I start shimmying back behind the arcade games. And there I see the bouncy ball nestled amongst the cords of all of these arcade games. And I'm like, I got it, kids. And I like go back there in all the dust and everything. And I pick up the bouncy ball and I come back and I put the trash can back. And I'm like, here you go. I found it. And you're like, yay. And I felt very, very proud of myself.
You should be proud of yourself.
Thank you.
I feel like that was a needle in a haystack. And
right?
I'm impressed you found it. Also, I feel like Corey would have the same reaction Steve did. Like, can we just buy one? Like, I'm not looking for this thing. And I would have the same reaction as you. And be like, I'm going to find it. Like, it's here. It didn't like dematerialize. It's got to be somewhere. Like, we're going to find it.
Yes, exactly. So that's what we did.
Okay. How did Cece respond when you found her beloved lost toy that she had for all of 3 seconds before she lost it?
Oh, she was very excited. I could tell she wanted to start bouncing it again immediately. I was like, put it in your pocket. And so she shoved it in her pocket.
Mama's not looking for this thing again.
Exactly. There is really nothing grosser than an arcade floor, especially behind the machines. It is just truly disgusting.
Yeah, I don't, I I hope you had some hand sani with you.
Ugh, always, 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 always. But, you know, it was worth it for a 32-cent bouncy ball. All worth it.
It was worth it so that the day did not end in a, like, hours-long meltdown over the 32-cent bouncy ball.
It's true. And this was, like, the last thing we did right before we headed home, too, for the hour drive. So I think I saved more than just the ball. I saved the day.
You did save the day, Shauna.
Thank you. All right, that's my mom win. Laura, what's your mom win?
Okay, so think back to a little over a month ago when I went down to Huntington Beach for the little staycation with my mom and Corey and the boys.
Yes, I haven't stopped being jealous of that trip ever since.
You might change your mind after you hear this story, but okay. This is a mom win.
Okay.
So when we talked about that in the check-in, you asked whether we went to the beach, and I kind of just like casually said, like, yeah, we went one day, because I was saving the story for a mom win segment.
Ooh, sneaky. Okay.
Yes. Okay, so here's the story. So we were there for like 3 nights, and one of the days that we were there, it was known to all of us that Corey had a big meeting. He had a notes call, right, with the network, and it was like a big deal. These things only come up every once in a while. It was something that can't be moved, and it was like, that's fine. I will be there. It was a weekday, right? It was like Friday or whatever, and I was like, I'll be there with my mom, and I'll take the boy. We'll take the boys to the pool or something, right? Like, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
And that morning, the boys woke up super early because they were super excited to be, you know, at the beach and all this stuff. And they kept saying, beach, beach, I want to go to the beach. And I was like, okay, we can go to the beach today. And Corey was like, remember, I have that call. And I was like, oh, I can go with my mom. So then I like knock on my mom's door, her hotel room door. And I'm like, mom, can we go to the beach with the boys today? And she's like, ooh, I have patients this morning. I was like, okay. Well, I did promise the boys the beach. So at first I was like, here's what we'll do. It's kind of chilly. It's been a chilly season, as you know. Let's just like be fully dressed. We don't need the whole thing. Let's take the wagon down to the beach before daddy's meeting. Like, we can walk down to like the PCH. You cross the PCH, you can walk on the path along the beach, and we'll be like at the sand, but we're not like going to the beach, right?
Right.
So we did that. It was like 7:30 in the morning. His meeting was at 9 or something. So it was like, okay, this
is... Did Corey go with you?
Yeah. So the whole family went to go have like a little sand adventure without like the full beach experience. So we get down to the beach and the boys are playing in the sand, just having like the best time. And I'm looking at my watch and we have like 30 minutes before Corey's meeting. And I suddenly was like, you know what? What if I quickly run back to the room, grab all of our beach stuff and come back, and we can like spend a bunch of time at the beach. And then when you're done with your call, you come join us to help us like offload, right? Like to take everything off the beach. Okay. And he was like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, once we're like settled, you know, you'll help me get the beach tent up. You'll help me like do all the setup and stuff. And then you go and you do your meeting and you come back. It'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, all right, if you say so. So that's what we did. He helped me set up the, like, I ran back to the room, grabbed all of our shit. Like, I took the wagon and like loaded it full of our shit, dragged it across the like super wide beach. I don't know if people who like have never been to Southern California know this, but like our beaches are so wide and there's rarely paths out. So like I'm dragging all of our shit out, on the sand in this wagon. And they're already out there playing, and Corey helps us get set off. He jets off to go do his call, right? Boys are in their swimsuits. They're matching swimsuits. I sent you pictures of that, having a great time. Honestly, it was pretty easy while we were there. It wasn't crowded. I could keep an eye on both of them.
Oh, nice.
You know, they're not going swimming by themselves, so it's fine, right? Like, it was totally fine. But then time is creeping on, and I keep getting texts from Corey being like, this is going long. There's more notes than we thought. This is taking longer than I expected. Uh-huh. And I was like, shit. And then finally he was like, I don't think I'm getting off this call anytime soon. And I was like, okay. And it dawned on me that I was, you know, like, what is like probably like 300 yards inland on sand, right? With two small kids, a wagon that was completely full of beach stuff, like a tent, two chairs, like all the towels, all the beach toys. It was full without kids, right?
Right.
And two boys who are approaching nap time. You know, Augie doesn't nap anymore, but he still gets grumpy around, you know, we have to eat lunch. We didn't bring lunch because I thought Corey would be back. I had snacks. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to get us out of here by myself.
Ooh.
Like, what is going to happen? So my mom win is that I figured that shit out. And I got these kids off the beach by myself.
How did you do it?
Shauna, it was not simple. It was not simple. So the first order of business was trying to keep them like still while I packed up like the beach tent and the towels and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
I achieved this by like setting up a little station with some like buckets of pre-filled water and their sand toys and stuff like over to the side where I could see them while I did all the, you know, packing.
Smart.
One brilliant thing, and that like really the thing that really enabled this is that ages ago, like 2 years ago when we moved, I probably talked about those like big zipper pouches that I bought for moving.
Yes.
If I recall, you said they'd be perfect for like the chum of moving, that you just like sweep things into it, right?
Chowder, yes.
Chowder, that's what you call it, the chowder. Mm-hmm. For people who don't remember, they're like, they're kind of like made out of that like IKEA bag material, but they're like a big rectangle and they zip all the way. And the key feature is that they have like duffel handles, but they also have backpack handles.
Ooh, nice.
Like backpack straps. So I was like, okay, I can do this, right? So here's what I need to do. Pack everything in this backpack duffel thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Put that on my back. Put the kids in the stroller or, you know, stroller wagon. I have the kind of stroller wagon that, like, you can either push it or pull it. Like, you can unclip the sides and, like, pull the handle over.
Oh, nice. Uh-huh.
So I was like, I'll get the kids in. I'm going to have to pile some shit on top of them. Like, this just going to happen. They're just going to have to be, like, underneath some towels and shit. And they're just going to have to deal. They're going to be unhappy about it, but it's going to happen. Other parents or people without children might ask, why didn't you make the kids walk? But I think you know the answer to that question, Shauna.
Oh, yeah. No, that's
not. They're not going to do it.
No.
I'm tired. I can't walk. Also, like, yep, that allows them to run away.
Mm-hmm,
and
true.
My hands were going to be totally full. So I loaded them in the wagon, piled a bunch of shit on top of them, flipped the handle so that I could, like, push the wagon with my chest, kind of like I was a pack mule. Let me send you a picture.
Amazing.
All right, a photo is heading your way.
The handle is like a harness, and you are dragging this full wagon with these two little heads peeking out. Oh my gosh. Yeah, this is mom win material for sure.
Thank you. Thank you. I was like, and, like, did anyone seeing me pass by offer to help?
No.
And I probably would have accepted some help at this point, you know? Like, mm-hmm, people were just kind of looking at me. Once we got to the sidewalk, it was fine because I could push it a lot easier. I mean, it wasn't, like, fun. But this was probably the best workout I've had in ages. The timestamp on this is 11:56 a.m. I was getting them back just in time for lunch. I will say I had been texting Corey. I was like, will you order some like room service or get some food? Something needs to be at the room when we get back.
Yeah.
And the mom win turned into a dad fail because I got there. He was still on his call, to be fair. He was trying to do a business call. But I'm like, look, we have two children who need to eat. And there wasn't food. And I was like, fuck. So they ended up eating like protein bars for lunch.
They probably loved it.
So, yeah, that was my mom win.
Very, very impressive. I'm actually shocked that a strange middle-aged man didn't comment on the fact that you had so much shit with you at the beach. Because every time I go to the beach with that much crap, some dude has to comment on it. So that's a mom win, too. Good job.
Seriously. I used every piece of equipment we had, too. By the way, I was just about to close my photos app and I saw what the next photo was. So let me send it to you.
Okay.
So that was like just before noon. This is 1:25 p.m.
Oh, they are so passed out. So exhausted. On top of you. Aww.
On top of me. Yeah.
Aww, little snuggles.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big day. That's a lot of time at the beach. That in itself is a mom win. The fact that you, mm-hmm, you know, they really wanted to go. You did it despite the obstacles and you got them home in time for protein bar lunch. Well done. Well done, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. But anyway, I'd like to bask in my own glory for a few more moments. Do you think we should take a break and then come back with our final segment?
All right. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back, and we wrap up every episode with our weekly Big Fat Positives or Big Fat Negatives. Laura, you're up first. What do you got for us?
Okay, so I have a BFP. It has a little hint, a little whiff of a BFN, but I'm calling it a BFP.
Okay.
But I'm going to call this BFP the overprotective grandma.
Oh, okay.
And that grandma is my mother. So, when your mother is a board-certified medical geneticist who has a subspecialty in metabolism, who sees kids with really rare diseases all day, every day, sometimes she may get a little overzealous with the at-home diagnoses, all right?
Okay.
It's that thing where it's like, if you're a hammer, all you see are nails, right? Like, sure, her life is all like rare diagnoses all day, right? Like that is just her life. So she has struggled a little bit with the two healthy grandchildren that she has to like tamp that down. And she knows it, right? Like, she knows that sometimes she's overdoing it. Like, she told me the other day that I had sent her a picture of Sebastian. He was making a weird face, and she immediately thought he had some sort of rare storage disorder that was going to like render him, you know, incapacitated within a couple years. And she spent like 2 days freaking out about it until
she realized that.
He doesn't. She came and visited, and she was like checking his spleen and stuff. She's like, he's fine. He's fine. He doesn't have it. It was just a weird angle. I was like, okay. Like, but this is what's going on in her brain.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's scary. How is that for you? Does that make you anxious?
No, because I know. You know what I mean? Like, I know. Yeah. And part of it, too, is that it doesn't make me anxious because I think I've kind of calibrated myself to it. And that's kind of leads into this story, which is, like, I've calibrated to grandma, little overprotective, a little bit reading too much into things, looking for diagnoses, right? Not that she wants the kids to have something wrong. She's worried, right? She's always been worried that something was going to go wrong with her kids and her grandkids. So she's worried. So whenever she brings up something medical with the kids, I always try to take it with a grain of salt because I know that sometimes it might be reading too much into things, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, recently she called something that turned out to be actually a real thing. And so that's what I'm going to talk about real quick.
Okay.
And that is like right before Sebastian's second birthday, she had come to visit for his birthday, right? And she's always been a little worried about his speech. And that's one of the things that I've like calibrated, right? Mm. It's that thing where it's like, well, Augie was such a like advanced speaker at this age. Like we have our, you know, our baseline is messed up, and according to his pediatrician and everyone else we talk to, Sebastian is like perfectly on track. So like, let's not over worry ourselves about nothing. But this time she said, have you had his hearing checked lately? Mm. And I was like, no. I'm like, but you know, he hears us. He jumps at like the smallest sound at night, you know, like all this stuff. I don't think there's anything wrong with his hearing. And she's like, the reason I ask is because the way his speech sounds is a lot like the way that some of my deaf and hard of hearing patients sound when they're that age. And at first I was like, okay, mom. You know, like he just talks like a baby, right? Like he just talks like a baby. But she's like, make sure you get his hearing checked. And I was like, well, we're about to go in for his second, you know, 2 year appointment. So I'll mention it to the doctor. She's like, please do, please do. She was really pushy about it. So we take him to his 2 year appointment, and I almost forget, but then I'm like, oh, I meant to tell you, my mom is worried about his hearing. And my pediatrician also knows about my mom's situation.
Oh, so she does.
Like,
okay.
Yeah, but she's very respectful of it. But she's like, okay, we don't do hearing tests for kids this young in our office, but I can refer you to audiology if your mom is worried. She's like, your mom has more experience than I do. If she's worried, that's fine. I don't mind referring you and ruling it out. It's like, okay.
Okay.
At this point, I still think we're overreacting, but I'm like, let's get the hearing test. There's no harm in it, right? Let's just do it. So Corey takes him to the audiology test. I couldn't go for scheduling reasons. And when they come back, Corey tells me that they found he has mild to moderate hearing loss due to fluid in his middle ear.
What?
Yeah. Not permanent, right? It's not like permanent hearing loss, but he's basically got like recurring ear infections that are causing fluid not to drain in his middle ear. And we were like, well, that's news to us, right? And they asked, like, has he been sick recently? And we're like, when has he not been sick? Like every other week for the last like 4 months, right? Like, so the next step was to go see an ENT, which we did this week. And the ENT was like, oh, yeah, I'd call that moderate fluid, not severe, but moderate. Like there's a lot of fluid in that ear. And he was like, we usually like to wait and make sure that he's had this for like at least 3 months before we suggest doing ear tubes, which would be the treatment for this, right? Like they put little drainage tubes in the eardrum. And he's like, do you think it's been 3 months? And Corey and I are like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, at this point, it had been like a month since the audiology appointment. So we know it had been like at least that long, right?
Yeah.
And so the doctor was like, look, you could either do the tubes now or we could check him again in 6 weeks. Maybe the fluid's gone. And if it's not, then we'll do the tubes then.
Oh.
And so that's the option we went with, option B, the more conservative route. Because, you know, even though it's supposedly a super minor surgery that's very easy and not a problem, but I don't want to subject him to unnecessary surgery. So
for sure.
Now we are waiting to see if his fluid resolves. And I have to tell my mom she was right, which is kind of the BFN part of it, I guess.
She's going to love it. I mean, she's not going to love that he's got moderate hearing impairment, but, you know, she's going to love that she was right.
Yes, yes. She will love that she's right, which is just one of the harder things for me to admit. I don't want her to lord it over me. But I will say that, you know, it had not occurred to us to get his hearing checked at all. So I have to thank my mom. That's the BFP for flagging this for us and being a little overbearing and overly worried, because sometimes it does help. So, yeah. But we might be headed towards ear tubes over here.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Did you get any information on if this actually might be affecting his speech?
The ENT guy was not, like, super concerned, because I told him, like, oh, yeah, you know, he's... I was like, you know, he's stringing, you know, 2 to 5 word sentences together. They're just not very clear. Like, the enunciation isn't very clear. Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, oh, he's not even 2 and a half. He's fine. He's fine. I'm like, well, OK, I'm just wondering, because, and he's like, he's fine. He's fine. Like, basically. So he's not worried about the speech. One thing I did say, I was like, it seems like waiting 6 weeks isn't going to be like a make it or break it as far as like language development goes. And he's like, mm-hmm. No, not at all. He's like, waiting 6 weeks is not going to make a difference there. So I was like, OK, we'll wait.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But yeah, oh, that's where we're at.
Good job, Dr. Susan / Grandma.
Dr. Grandma. Dr. Yeah. Grandma strikes again.
Yes, she does.
Anyway, that was mine. How about you? Do you have a BFP or a BFN after this harrowing week with the medicine and the fevers?
I know. Despite the harrowing week, I do have a BFP.
Oh, good.
Yes. My BFP is Bluey, the kids show. We've watched it before, but never to the level that we have watched it this week, Laura. Cece, like, rediscovered it, and we have watched it on repeat all day, every day. I mean, there are, like, I think we added up that there are, like, 130 episodes, like, each little 7-minute episode on Disney Plus. We've watched all of them. Over and over. She has her favorites. She requests certain ones. Mm-hmm. We've watched certain ones just so many times. And usually they're shows, like, if I'm with them, you know, I kind of tune them out. Like, I do not pay attention to the storyline of Paw Patrol and all that. But Bluey is so good. It's just such a good show. The characters are amazing. The writing is funny. The parents, their little asides of parenting and the things the kids do. It's just, like, so accurate to, like, real life and real kids. And the one thing that really blew my mind after I just watched so much of this show and fell in love with it and was like, this is the best cartoon ever. The mom's name, okay, Bluey's mom's name is Chili.
I didn't know that.
Which is my old dog's name. I've literally never met another dog named Chili ever in my life. I was like, come again. Like, let's rewind that. Did they just call her Chili? They called her Chili Dog. I used to call my dog Chili Dog. I was like, oh my God. I was like fangirling over that cartoon dog's name being Chili.
That's really cute. I like Bluey too. My children will not watch it. I've mentioned this on the show before. Like, they just refuse, flat out refuse. We've gotten like 10 minutes into the first episode 5 times. So I've seen the like freeze game thing like 100 times. I've tried. Every once in a while, I'm just like, oh, Bluey. What about Bluey? And they're like, no, no.
Bummer. I will say that my kids were like that for a while. They were just into other stuff, Paw Patrol, and I would try to suggest Bluey, and it didn't work. This time, I don't know, something about it was very comforting for Cece being so sick and just like...
Oh, that's nice.
Rewatching it over and over. The one funny thing about that show is like the parents are very playful with the kids, right? A lot of the episodes are about how the parents are playing some pretend game with the kids and everything. And I'm always like, ooh, that's like putting a lot of pressure on me to play with my kids in this way. Like, after they watch it, I notice they're like, Mom, will you play a game with me like Bluey? And like, I don't know. I'm like, okay, I'll try.
Yeah. Bluey and Bingo's dad is very hands-on. And like, I just want there to be a Bluey episode. Maybe there is one. You tell me. where he like needs a break and lets like forces them to play independently.
There's one where he's just like lying there on the couch, just being a mountain while they climb all over him. So he's not doing much there. You know, he's definitely being a little hands off on that one.
I do like that in the first episode, you know, the dad is staying home with the kids and the mom is like heading off to work. Like that mm-hmm. really, I mean, that made me want to watch more. I don't know why my kids hate nice things,
but
I'm so glad yours don't hate nice things.
I'm so glad too. It's so good. Everyone, at least try to get your kids to watch Bluey because it really is a terrific show. And yeah, that's my little silver lining of the week in my BFP.
Sweet.
Before we wrap things up, do you have a 5-star review to read?
You know I do.
Yay.
This one is from Mandy Van from Great Britain. Hello.
Hello.
It doesn't tell us any more information, so you're somewhere across the pond. And Mandy Van says, fantastic podcast. Got me through my 2-week wait. 5 stars. I found this podcast while desperately searching for something to distract me during my 2-week wait in what turned into my BFP. It's fun, factual, and overall a very entertaining podcast. Highly recommend. Thank you, Mandy.
Thank you so much. Ooh, that 2-week wait is so rough. I feel ya. So I'm glad we could help out at that time.
Yes, distraction is key during the TWW.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for leaving that review. And listeners, if you haven't had a chance yet to leave us a 5-star review, could you please do us a favor and head on over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star review, say a few things you love about the show, and we might read it on an upcoming episode. And if you have any mom wins you want to share with us, you know we would love to hear them. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We are on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always throw a voice memo in there. Just send it to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join the coolest group of people on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so you have to request to join. Once you answer those 2 membership questions and we know you're not a robot, you'll be sent straight through to all the wonderful and insightful conversations we're having in there.
Our show is produced by Laura Burek, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.